If you're a golf lover, join in on fun discussions about golf. From the perspective of two plugged-in Minnesota golf geeks, Brad Cole and David Branstad, this is 10,000 Swings.
Hello and welcome back to 10,000 Swings. It is Sunday, May 2nd, 2021. I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branstad.
10,000 Swings is brought to you by Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual. Jarrett is a good friend of ours, and let's just say we trust him enough to probably even give him six-footers. For whatever financial questions you have, call Jarrett today with Northwestern Mutual. 612-209-4523, or check out his website at www.jarrettyalen.com. JarrettYalen.com. He can do retirement planning, life insurance, analyze your golf shop credit spend, you name it. Give Jarrett a call today. We've got a great show.
He is literally, though, the only one, the only financial advisor in town that will do shop credit.
He'll break it down. If you've got $50, he'll find a $38 polo that's on the clearance rack and maybe a $12 synthetic glove. So he'll make it work, whatever you need to do. But Jarrett's awesome. Give him a shout today. And man, Branny, we've got a great show this week. So the PGA Professional Championship happened this last week. We've got a special guest relating to that. The Valspar Championship, some club fitting talk, the Big Ten Golf Championships. And actually, next week we'll have Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual on the show to break down the Wells Fargo and give a shout out to all the wonderful moms out there on Mother's Day. And speaking of awesome moms, we have two guests this week that have two of the best moms in the world, as I know them very well. This week we have Ty Municki and Derek Holmes from PXG. Guys, how we doing?
Real good, guys. Say, it's an honor to be on. I feel like a Z-list celebrity being a part of this compared to the people you've had on in the past and who we have on joining us today. So seriously, it's a pleasure.
Well, and that's awesome, Ty. You know, Ty, you just described yourself as a Z-list celebrity, and actually a lowercase Z-list celebrity in Minneapolis, Derek Holmes, is also joining us. And now after this last week, Derek's actually moved to, I think, a B-list celebrity. Derek, how we doing, bud?
Good. I would have to say it's maybe a lowercase B, but it moved up a little bit. How are
Derek,
you guys doing?
We'll get into it a bit, but you know, do you still have a data plan on your phone, or do you get unlimited text messages and phone calls?
Good thing I get unlimited text messages and phone calls, because I didn't know I knew that many people on this planet.
You know, it's interesting how those things work. Again, thank you guys for both being on the show. And, you know, we'll start off with just kind of introducing yourselves a little bit and what your background is in golf, what you do for PXG, and then we'll jump right into the professional championship. But if you could start off and kind of lead the way of, you know, your background, how you got into golf, what you do for PXG, and then Dee, if you could as well, just so our listeners kind of know your guys' background.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm 35. I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river. So, no, just kidding. Been waiting to say that a long time. So, yeah, guys, I grew up in the northwest side of Minneapolis, and I've been a golfer and hooper my whole life. So, I grew up in a background with sports as being the primary focus for forever. My father, he's been on the pod already. His name is Jeff Municki. He's been with the T-Wolves for a long time. So all I know is hoops and golf. And what's funny about it, it's kind of ironic, is nobody in my family was very good at golf. So I have no idea how I got into the sport, especially my dad. He's been, no disrespect, he's not very good. But if you want to play 5 hours or 6 hours on the golf course, that's your man. So, it's been fun. I mean, just such a blessing to be in the position I am now, but kind of back, taking a step backwards in time here. So I was a college golfer myself. To give you any indication of how good I was, so I played at the University of South Dakota, and the year after I graduated, they won the conference championship. So needless to say, they wanted me the heck out of there, man, because I was clearly holding them back. But yeah, out of school, I was fortunate enough to land a job with Big Nike. And so I was out at their corporate headquarters for 4 years, and I wore a couple different hats. I was, customer service, sales, I did a stretch in merchandising for them within golf. And the thing that kind of led me into club fitting and the position I am today is I did a pretty significant stretch on the road. And we called this program the Performance Fitting Experience. And so it was basically an extension of the tour van. It was pretty cool. We had a 60-foot truck and trailer. So I'm legitimately CDL certified, which is funny because, yeah, that's scary in itself. But I was 24, CDL certified, had never driven a large vehicle in my life. And here I am driving a 60-foot rig across the country with like $2 million in product in the back. So anyway, we basically followed the tour circuit. And what was neat about it is we would kind of branch out to local country clubs in the surrounding area of the tour event that week. And we would do kind of tour level custom fittings from the tour guys themselves. And so kind of forward thinking in a sense, because that's what PXG is now doing at an incredibly high level. So fast forward to today, I'm now our territory sales leader for the upper Midwest market. So I oversee kind of our business in the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, and a small sliver in Wisconsin. So crazy to kind of see the evolution of our brand. It started with just myself and one other guy. We're literally slinging sticks out of the back of a van. The only way you could get product was to get custom fit by me or my counterpart, Adam, at the time. And obviously that's not a scalable business model. it works enough to be dangerous, but now we have two vans, two SUVs, a 7,000 square foot store, and a team of, I think, 12 just based out of Minneapolis. So it's been cool to see the evolution, and I feel very fortunate to be in the position I am today.
That's awesome. Before we get to Derek, Ty, you talked a little bit about your CDL and some of that. Are you still allowed back at certain clubs in California? Or is that's still kind of a, yeah, that guy probably shouldn't drive on our property again?
Oh, geez. I don't even know if I can share that story. That's probably
you don't have to name the club, but it's you've had some good times on the road. I've been able to enjoy some of those stories, and it was kind of cool is that actually in 2016, the PGA Professional Championship was in upstate New York. Ty was driving the Nike fitting van, and I was on the bag for Derek at the Professional Championship. So kind of crazy how it all comes full circle, and now. Now Derek's got a whole different situation with PXG, and he's going to be playing some pretty big tournament here coming up soon. So, Dee, if you could tell us a little bit about your background, how you got where you are.
Yeah, I'm 34. I'm not divorced yet. who knows? My wife could be looking for a second husband, but we're not sure yet. grew up kind of northern metro with Brad and Anoka. Moved to Arizona for a couple years, went to school down there, and then decided to move back to the north. Not sure why, but I ended up going to school at Wisconsin Stout, graduated there with a golf enterprise management degree, and then got into the golf business, worked at River Oaks Golf Course in Cottage Grove for 6 seasons, and then moved to Delwood Country Club, where actually got on staff with PXG, got to know Ty a lot better. And that team, and decided in 2020, once the PXG Minneapolis store was open, applied for the manager's job. And now I run PXG Minneapolis with PXG crew, and loving it every day.
Awesome. No, it's so cool because I think a lot of people that listen to the show don't realize all the different types of jobs there are in golf. So it's kind of cool to let people know there's so much more out there. And you know, now that there's retail, there's club fitting, there's so many different things. And so for people that don't know, the PGA Professional Championship, commonly referred to in the past as the PNC or the Club Pro Championship, there's been a lot of names. It's the PGA yeah. Professional Championship. And to be able to play the section version of that, the section championship each year, you have to be a Class A PGA professional. And that has a lot of different looks depending on, you could be a store manager like Derek. You could be an engineer like we saw a guy last week from Ping. You could be a lot of different ways. You have to be a Class A PGA professional. And so each year we have different section events all over the country to qualify for nationals. And Minnesota had theirs last summer. The top eight qualified for this year. And Derek was one of those eight that qualified at Summerbee. So this last week, 312 PGA professionals went down to Florida, Port St. Lucie, one of the coolest places. It's kind of the mecca of golf, in my opinion. Spent a lot of time there growing up. It's just a really cool spot. And Derek went out, and after the first 2 days, they cut to 90 in ties. So after 2 days, Derek made it through. After 3 days, they cut to 70 in ties, and he made it through. So now things are getting a little dicey. We're and again, everyone I know in the Minnesota golf community is watching this a lot of different ways. I've actually heard that several private clubs in Minneapolis had to have carpet replaced from all the pacing that was happening. But we're going down the stretch, and 20 players, they do a playoff. 20 players make it to the PGA Championship, which is the major, the PGA Championship, not to be confused with just another PGA event. This is the PGA Championship, one of the majors. And 20 guys make it. It's in 3 weeks at Kiawah Island in South Carolina. And Derek is in a position going into the final round. He's in the top 20. And so now we fast forward. Let's call it hole. We're through the first nine. Derek still doesn't, according to the online scorecard, still doesn't have a three putt all week. Knock on wood. And obviously, my dad brought that up via text, so that turned out well in the back nine. But then we got a four putt, we got a three putt. We earlier in the round we had a bogey followed up by an eagle. I mean, this thing, and you're watching online, you just refresh, 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 and it was so fun. It was also on the Golf Channel Live. So Derek's playing in this group with several guys that are all right around the cut line, and they're not showing Derek. And it's very uncomfortable. It's like you see him walking in the background, and they just don't show him. He made a birdie on 16, didn't show it. But now he gets to 17, and he's right there. He's at even par, and it looks like plus one's going to be a playoff. And I tell you what, the five-footer that he had on 17, I was so nervous about. I had Scotty McDonald from Rip Golf on the phone with me. I had my two-year-old in front of me screaming at the TV for Uncle Derek. And I kid you not, I was so nervous about that five-footer on 17 until the camera kept focusing on the sunburn, the like third-degree sunburn that Derek had on the back of his tries. And like, it's all I could think about. I wasn't even worried about his putt. I was more worried about, you know, Kelsey saying, "Hey, dude, like, you got to put something on that." So he makes the putt, and it was just a clutch putt. And then he goes to 18, and all of a sudden you guys are waiting now on 18 tee box, and it's like super uncomfortable. Like, what are we doing? And they show one guy hit it into the bunker, it bounces out. The other guy hits it into the bunker, it bounces into the trees, and we never see Derek's ball. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what happened? Like, why are we not? We need something. And we're getting no update. And then all of a sudden, they show Derek reappear in the middle of the fairway with his seed, 160 yards out or whatever it was. And no, Derek,
it was like 132, I think.
132?
Yeah.
You're using a PXG. You had,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that was a steered pitching wedge.
Wow. So you got 132, pins kind of back middle, water right. What's going through your mind, Derek, at that point? Like, you have an idea of where you're at. Are you fully like, I just get me out of here? Are you try to swing slow? Like, what are your swing thoughts? You know, what is going on in your brain?
Well, I got to back up a little bit about the sunburn. The sad thing is I went and bought 100 SPF because I was burning so badly in Florida that I actually had to go buy 100 SPF sunscreen, and I still got burned. So, you know, we'll start with the tee shot. It was downwind, firm. I guess downwind and from the right. In all honesty, it was probably a 3-wood, maybe a 3-iron. But I go, I'm going to hit the biggest club in my bag. I don't care. And I just aimed left and absolutely pounded a nice little fade into the wind and right down the middle. So I'm sitting out there 130, and it was kind of an in-between shot. It was either, do I hit a 52 degree or do I hit a pitching wedge? The pin's back right on a shelf. And it's a little peninsula back there, so there's nowhere to miss. You left or right, right's in the pond, left down a deep swale. So I said, you know, let's just hit the 52, middle of the green. Not an easy two putt, but it's better than some other alternatives. So, you know, hit an okay shot, probably towed it just a hair, but hit the green about 70 feet away. So happy with that, but I know there's still a lot of work to be done. And there's a scoreboard just dead right of the green that you walk up, walking to the green, you see this scoreboard. 4 for 3 playoff at +1. So, I mean, it's right there.
And, oh, my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can clearly see it. So I know exactly what I have to do. And probably hit one of the most purest putts I've ever hit on that first putt. And, Brad, if you want to explain it from the TV angle, you can explain that first putt, how good it was.
Yeah, you know, from my screen, it looked like it was a straight hosel rocket going straight to the lake the whole way. You know, like I said, I've got McDonald on the phone. My son is there. And all of a sudden, we're like, okay, just get this within 5 feet. Put the 5-foot circle on it. And I read it as, you know, maybe like 6 inches to a foot outside left. You got to hit it firm to get it up that hill. And I think you just maybe didn't hit it hard enough. Is that kind of what happened?
Yeah, it was into the grain. Grain was kind of going to the right a little bit. Slope was going to the right. And I just didn't hit it quite firm enough. And as soon as it got to the slope, it just made a right-hand turn. And it was a big right-hand turn.
If I could interject for a second, can you guys just imagine if he wasn't using a PXG putter, how much worse that would have been?
The sweet spot's huge, right?
Size of Texas. I mean, he would have hosed that thing in the water had it been something else.
Because I think we went with no disrespect. We went from 69 feet to 22 feet.
Well, I'm going to have to argue with that. It might have been like 35 feet for the second one.
I've been telling the story as 90 and 25.
I hit it and I went, it got about halfway to where it ended up making the right, and I went, oh boy. And I knew right away, I'm like, this isn't going to be good. And it just starts going to the right, and then it starts going backwards. Because I thought maybe it could stay up on top and have like a 12-footer, and then it started to go backwards. And I'm just like, oh, what a great time for one of the best putts I've ever hit in my life to have to make a 35-footer after having a 70-footer.
And the announcers are actually saying live on TV, like, I don't think that's really what he's looking for, you know, and you can see the disgust. Like, at one point, I actually told Scotty on the phone, I'm like, I think he might jump in the water. Like, I think he might just go in the water, just say, you know what, peace out. I can't take it anymore. But you handled it so well. And that's what's crazy. So now you've got this 25-footer, and you're staring at the hole. If you run this thing 3 to 4 feet by, and you miss that putt coming back, you're not even in the playoff. Like, it's just done. And so there has to be all these crazy thoughts going through your mind. And all of a sudden, you just go ice in the veins. And the best tweet I saw, the best GIF I saw was from your brother. Your brother had one tweet that said, buckets. Because the video has gone viral amongst golfers that want to, you know, make a big putt to win. It's been pretty cool. But in addition to that, he sent me the text, the GIF of Kobe. And, you know, it was so cool because things could have gone a million ways wrong. And obviously you're mentally preparing for all these different things and nothing bothered you. And as someone that would have definitely folded in that situation, like, I would have taken the water option myself. That was really, really cool. And, you know, and for those that don't know, Derek and I have been playing golf together for about 30 years now. So we've seen the best of times and the worst of times. And this was definitely the best of times.
Yeah. I mean, standing over that putt, it was a lot of things were going on. You mentioned it earlier. I maybe had a 4-putt early in the round. So, but standing over it, I knew it was makeable was option, but I also knew what got into a playoff. So I go, okay, you're not out of this. You got 25, 30 feet. Make it great, but if you get it up near the hole, tap it in, let's go. We're not out of this. And, you know, luckily the putt went in, and, you know, the rest is history. I had to book a plane ticket to South Carolina. So unbelievable experience, and can't wait for a couple weeks.
Derek, can you talk about the awkwardness of trying to plan flights for this trip and for your family and the people that are with you? And, you know, you wanted to celebrate after the round. and your people had already gone back. Like, can you talk about just how uncomfortable that was? Like, did you just drink beers by the pool by yourself and just kind of take it all in, or what did that night look like? Because it's kind of awkward, right? You're during COVID, like it's just kind of weird. You want to go celebrate.
Yeah. So as you know, I knew this was exactly going to happen. So let's see, Tuesday night. Shockingly, I made the first cut, which, you know, that was my goal, honestly, going down there. Then I made the second cut. So, of course, I had a 3:30 flight home Wednesday. So Tuesday night, I'm scrambling to book a car and a flight for Thursday because now I got to play golf on Wednesday. And my wife and son Jackson and mother-in-law took that flight home on Wednesday. So they're on a plane when this is all happening, kind of towards that last 3-4 holes. So they have no clue what's going on. And so I get done and signed the scorecard after about 45 minutes of looking at it to make sure it added up to the 73. And then go to my phone and I'm getting all these congratulations. And I'm like, okay, I'm not in yet. You know, don't want to think too far ahead. Finally get it. They rush us off to a bunch of media stuff. You're staring at cameras and you have to do a bunch of pictures and all this stuff for ESPN. Really cool experience. And then I get out of there and go, okay, what am I going to do? And go have a beer by myself and just hang out. And it was very awkward because, yeah, it's like you want to go party, but I'm not going to go sit at a restaurant. No one's here. I'm exhausted. So it's just kind of, it was an awkward kind of night because it was like I couldn't sleep, but no one was around, and it was just good problems to have. Trying to book a flight in, you know, leaving in 2 weeks. Flight, house, car, cars for the family, who's coming, caddy, a coach to get on the range, a manager, all this stuff. Absolutely great experience, but it's you got to do it quickly, especially at Kiowa because stuff goes fast out there.
All right, so let's bring this back to, I'm going to call it partying, but I have to bring this up. So there's a story out there about you and Adam Chandler. You guys are... You guys are at an away golf tournament. I believe it's an away golf tournament. I assume it is. And you go out, you get a case of beer, you go back to the hotel, and you're riding up an elevator. And something happens that you do to him. Can you finish that story?
So we're sitting in the elevator, and he's got basketball shorts on. I'm pretty sure this is where this story is going.
Yep.
And it's myself, Adam, and I believe Paul Speltz and Andy Smith. So but now a bunch of golf pros. And the door opens, and I'm standing behind him, and I full-fledged pants him as the door's opening. And this dad and, like, five-year-old girl are outside the elevator. And it's just like, oh, boy. And it was... We got out of there so fast, but I had no clue anyone would be out there. It just, the door was starting to open, and I just pantsed him. And the door fully opens. It's like, oh boy, that's not appropriate.
And to be fair, this was kind of Derek's MO in high school and college, whether it be golf, hockey. There has been some people that have gotten him back pretty good. But Derek likes to joke around and have some fun. Derek's also known for being one of the more talkative kids. I'll never forget, and also obviously I as well am included in that group. We're driving to the Optimist qualifier 1 year, and I must have been maybe like 15, and Derek's probably 12. And my mom drives, picks up Derek at, let's call it 4 o'clock. We drive down to Rochester. We're having breakfast at this Perkins, and you know it's 5:30, and my mom's been driving. And she looked at us, and my mom's a very sweet lady, as you guys can all attest. And she looks at us and she goes, "Are you two ever going to shut up?" So never a dull moment when Derek Holmes is around. There's some joking. There's some fun. I'm waiting to see what kind of pranks he pulls on Bryson at the PGA. I think there maybe could be something there. Maybe mess with like his humidity measurements or.
Yeah, take his TrackMan away.
So, Ty, can you give us like a, we've seen a video, a little internally viral video, if you will, of the celebration at PXG in Southdale. Can you tell us a bit about just what that moment was like, your whole team together, watching your guy on TV, Was everyone nervous? Was everyone confident? Where were you guys at?
Yeah, guys, it was surreal because it's funny. Obviously, Derek said it earlier, but his whole goal, which he told us once or twice, was like, "Hey, I just want to make the cut." I'm like, "Dude, go freaking win that thing, let's go!" And it was hilarious in the on the last day when he was there, and we were watching him on TV. It was just real because I see D every day almost at the store. We were watching this guy on TV about to potentially get into a major championship. It's like, man, how cool is this? So I was actually scheduled to fit that day. So I strategically like took all my guys out on the putting green to like, you know, quasi fit them for putter so I could watch it on the TV. Little did they know. It's like they weren't even in there to get fit for putter, but I'm like, no, you got to come check out this putter experience. It's freaking great. So I was not doing my customers a disservice or a service at all, but, it worked itself out, but you could not believe the energy. There was probably 10 people standing around the TV at the time, and you're watching all this come to fruition. And I could have used some like Tiger Woods CBD gummies or something because my heart was pounding and I wasn't even there. It was crazy. We were all super, super nervous. Obviously, it was all nervous excitement and energy. But at the end of the day, watching that putt fall, there's a video that I'd be happy to share with anybody of us going absolutely bananas. Our assistant store manager, Paul Pelletier, I'm pretty sure he lost his voice when he was screaming and like beating his chest. It was awesome, man. I'm obviously so happy for Derek and the fact that we laugh because then we're like, man, think about it this way. This dude is on cloud nine. Tomorrow he's got to show up to the store and go back to like ground zero, you know, steaming shirts and, you know, hemming and egging fittings with us. It's like, man, what a time to be alive.
It was a really cool moment and just very special. You know, it's not very likely going forward at this event for a lot of Minnesotans to make it through because with it being a spring event now, it's just, we started so far behind the eight ball, right? So just really incredible to see someone play that well right out of the gate in April. I mean, let's face it, D, 2 years ago, we had 2 feet of snow this time of year. So yeah. To think that you just shot, you know, even in a PGA professional championship for 4 days in late April is, it's pretty awesome stuff. And it was really special. So it's a cool story we wanted to share. Again, very unique. And the event was interesting. Omar Uresti won the event. Omar has over 350 starts on the PGA Tour. And is, you know, because of the different classifications that are allowed into this event, Omar is, you know, allowed to play in the event, but there's a lot of people that are very frustrated. I know he's actually done some interviews and he's frustrated that people are frustrated with him. You know, there's a lot of different ways to get in, and it's just, it's always very controversial, but it's very fun to see, you know, you playing at that level, Derek, and to see what will happen next. We had Jeff Sorensen from Minnetonka made the first cut and then not the second cut, correct?
Correct, yeah. He played day three, but not day four.
So, you know, and our other six Minnesota section professionals did not make it through the cut. But it's just fun to see you guys on TV. And I think the Golf Channel does a nice job of covering the event. They get a lot of information out there. The only thing I was looking for was more coverage of Derek, but selfishly. But otherwise, I think that, you know, it's really cool that they kind of make you feel like a PGA Tour professional for 4 days. At this event, I think it's pretty classy.
Yeah, it's
the 17th tee box. Like, we're all pissed off. Like, where's you guys all hit? Where's Derek? Like,
I hit too fast. They can't get to me. I guess.
I guess not.
Can I interject really quick? I do need to give Derek a shout out. His scripting on Sunday was significantly better than Saturday. The scripting on your second to the last day, you had the picnic table checkered shirt with the camo hat, like totally cross print that was not on brand. And then you cleaned it up nicely on the last day. So kudos to you.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of use it as my sunk my battleship shirt. You know, E7, and you sunk my battleship.
That's fantastic. And you know, while we're here talking about PXG and the community you guys have at the store there, I do want to do a quick plug. Want all of our listeners to know that 10,000 Swings is brought to you by PXG, Parsons Extreme Golf. They have an incredible new store in Southdale. Again, Derek's the store manager. Ty's there all the time. They have great new Gen 4 clubs out right now to give a try. But I think if you guys could both interject a little bit here and add a couple things. You know, what are the things that some people don't know about PXG, or some of the, you know, I know some people think that it's super, super expensive product only. Can you guys talk a little bit about who PXG can appeal to?
T, I'll let you start.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the thing I'm most proud of with this brand is we own the customer experience from start to finish, end to end, better than anybody. I'm biased. I've come from a couple different club brands in the past, and to come into this and more or less have a blank canvas and be able to curate, you know, experiences, a fitting experience unlike anything else out there, and then follow up. When you invest, we understand our product is premium, and I'm going to stand by that, as will Derek, until we die. So I think when you do invest in something premium, though, what's important is that you feel, not only do you see it and feel it in person, but you get to feel it and see it post-fitting. The service that my team and I provide, we feel it's second to none. This isn't when you come into the store, you don't get fit, get in, get out, and see you never. Like, we're going to check in on you. We're going to make sure that if you get a lesson from Branny, or you go play and for whatever reason the clubs just aren't maybe on par with what you thought they'd be, come back in and see us. Like, we're always going to take care of you. So I think something I'm really proud of is our service and mindset in that respect. But we also make great product. I mean, I there's no denying every manufacturer in the last couple of years in particular has really boosted their game in terms of their custom offerings, in terms of the materials that they use. And maybe, again, I'm a little biased, but I think we have something to do with that. You know, our owner, Bob Parsons, he believes in really three things with this company: performance, philanthropy, and, you know, the Heroes program that we have, which I can get into later. But performance is really what drives this brand moving forward. And so you have a product that is engineered with endless funds and no time restraints. And Is there something out there that exists that you can make better? You can. It's real. But no one's crazy enough to do it. Well, BP, Bob Parsons, he is. And we've had a lot of fun doing it. So I think for you guys, regardless of what brand you're going to land on, the number one thing that's most important is go get custom fit. Spend the money to get custom fit. I can assure you it's worth your time. And I can tell you my story on when I got my first custom fit set, and I can let Derek chime in here in a little bit, but I just think get custom fit regardless of what brand you land on. It's worth it, and we'd love to have you guys come through our experience sometime.
Yeah, to kind of add to that, I mean, we started out 5-6 years ago as the premium company for dollars. I mean, it was $8,000-$10,000 for a set irons or a full bag. Now you walk into PXG Minneapolis or get fit by Ty up at Rush Creek or one of his guys, I mean, we have clubs that start at $99 and go up to $350. You know, some of the promotions right now, full bag promotions. I mean, you can get a 14 clubs and a bag of PXGs for $2,000. I mean, you cannot get that with another company. You know, the Gen 3s, I believe, are just under $2,900 for a full bag. And the Gen 4s are right around $4,500. I mean, we have product for every golfer. If you're a beginner, if you're a 5 handicap, if you're a 20 handicap, and that's what a lot of people are starting to learn is we're still a premium company. Like Ty said, we're going to follow up no matter if you buy that 0211 or the Gen 4, but we have a price offering for every consumer out there right now.
No, that's good stuff. Can you guys tell us what is your, as club fitters, because obviously you guys both do a decent amount of club fitting, as club fitters, what is your biggest frustration when someone comes to you? Is it that they, you know, they, because for me, when I used to do club fitting, it was always like, oh yeah, you know, I'm not sure what clubs I want, but, and then, you know, like five swings in, it became a lesson. And then like after an hour and 200 free range balls, I was like, yeah, you know, I think I'm just going to call it a day. And there was people that I actually found that were truly like, they would work the demo day circuit and go from place to place for free range balls. So I'd love to hear both of you say, like, what, you know, when you do club fittings, and David as well with all the club fittings that you do, like, you know, what is your number one frustration, or what can we tell listeners, like, to get their ducks in a row to when they go to a, can we just make sure that everyone knows, hey, number one rule, do not go for a club fitting a day after a lesson? Or, you know, like, what would you guys recommend to our listeners that are, you know, it's this time of year is a great time of year to buy clubs. What can we tell people to kind of help lead them down the right path?
I mean, I'll take the first stab at this. For me, it's, you know, we're going to put you through the ringer. You're going to hit a bunch of golf balls. So don't go play 18 holes before you're going to get fit. You know, we've seen that a lot where a guy comes in and goes, yeah, I just walked 18 holes, hit range balls, and now I'm ready for my lesson or my fitting. Well, you just hit 100 shots with the range, and now we're going to make you hit 100. There's no way. I don't care who you are. That's a lot of golf swings in a day. So, you know, my big thing is come get fit first and then go play.
I think we're all chuckling at this a little bit. Excuse me. When it comes to club fittings, it's expectations. You go from someone who can't get the ball off the ground and all of a sudden ball's in the air and you've got a 10, 15 yard range of where it's going, but it has to go straighter. Like, really? We just went from the ball does not go off the ground to in the air and forward. Well, how far more do we need to take this?
That's actually one of the things I was going to say, Brandy, is I think people try and buy a game rather than work on their game and use equipment to then enhance what they've been working on. So I agree. Expectations, customer expectation, they expect, you know, when they buy a $5,000 set, they expect that set to make them from a 25 handicap to zero overnight. That's not reality. You know, I do think to kind of, and this isn't to contradict what Derek just said, but I think one of my frustrations is when the first time you go to hit golf balls for the entire year is in your fitting. We deal with this a lot in Minnesota, right? Because there's 8 months of snow and there's not, I mean, there we've seen a trend over the last couple of years where there's more and more indoor accessibility and people can keep their games relatively sharp throughout the year. But, I think guys coming in cold turkey expecting to just be in prime form for me to fit them. It's like, man, if possible, could you just go rake at least a bucket of balls or two or three or five, or, you know, just know that when you walk in here, you at least have somewhat of a sense of how your game is, because if the first time you hit a golf ball is when you step into the bay with me, odds are it's going to be like a 30-minute range sesh before we get some relevant data. So that's probably my frustration.
No, that's some good stuff. And actually, before we get to the tour event this week, I do have to say, if you are going to go to a fitting and you haven't properly stretched or loosened up yet, it's a good idea to have some sort of a beverage or something to maybe loosen up a little bit, because if you're not, there's nothing worse than watching someone take their first 10 or 20 swings and they're not ready. So I'd like to take this time to acknowledge our other sponsor, Corona Premier. So Corona has a new beer out. David and I are both trying right now, for those that are not watching on YouTube. It's called the Corona Premier, and it is 90 calories, 2.6 carbs. If you like Corona, this is a wonderful option for something a little bit lighter, pretty smooth, 4% alcohol, probably a great beer drinking, you know, on the golf course. Right, David? Like, don't you think that would be the perfect, like, 80-degree day, maybe a couple on the front, couple on the back, not get too crazy, but, you know, it's delicious.
So this is actually surprisingly good. It's the first one I've had. I really like it. But I agree. I'm not a White Claw guy. It's just not my thing. But I can do this. Two in the front, two in the back. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I think it's...
Let go.
And again, we want you to enjoy Corona Premier responsibly, but it's really a delicious summer. You know, and again, you could have it at the lake, a variety of places, but definitely a very nice, light summer beer. So as we start getting some of these warmer days, you know, a nice option. And by the way, I just want to say today is Sunday, May 2nd. Yesterday was Saturday, May 1st, and it was 82 degrees and sunny yesterday. And both David and I are not completely lobstered. So we're pretty excited about that accomplishment. You know, and I think Derek's at a point now where he's probably – are you already peeling, Derek, or are you getting in a better spot?
My ears are peeling pretty good, so.
Don't forget the sunblock, folks. It's an important part of the golf course. So we get into the Valspar this week.
Do we need a sunblock sponsor?
That might be our next one. So this week, the Valspar at Innisbrook, and normally this is a tournament where like 6 to 10 under wins. It's almost like a major. It's always pretty tricky. And a lot of the guys that have played very well at this event, Paul Casey, Louis Oosthuizen, et cetera, over the years, you guys that usually show up, you know, in majors. Ty, you've actually been to Innisbrook. Can you talk a little bit about how hard this course normally is and how Sam Burns, what did he shoot, 18 under?
Yeah, 17 or 18, I think. And it's, we were talking about this in the intro or the pregame deal here, and I just think 17 under is remarkable. And I've been there. I haven't played the course, but I've walked the course, and it is by all accords, it's a ball strikers golf course. I mean, you guys see Tiger and Paul Casey play well there, and it's because they're great iron players. I mean, those greens are like tabletops, and you can't get anything to hold, and so. It's a ball strikers golf course. I'm really impressed with that number. I didn't catch all of it, but was it soft? Was there some rain that came in? Is that why scores were low?
It didn't appear to be that way on TV. So I'm not sure exactly if they, you know, what they changed, but I was impressed. And again, it wasn't like a ton of guys were in double digits. I think we ended up with, you know, 7 players were double digits. So it's not that crazy. But still, you know, someone to get to 17 is kind of surprising there. And maybe the winds were just down a bit because that can be pretty windy, especially as they come through the snake pits. So, yeah, it was. I was surprised. I always liked the Valspar. I think they do some cool different things with their branding and the logos. And one of the things they did this week that I thought was really sweet, the caddy bibs. Every caddy could put whatever they wanted on the bib. And so, you know, one of my favorites was it Mark Hubbard? His caddy had a Kick Me on the back, which I thought was classic. And again, I guess I haven't caddied for Ty, but I've caddied for both Derek Plenty and Ty's sister, Megan, quite a bit. And I try to think, like, what would I put on my bib if I was caddying for them? And one of my favorite lines of all time, my college teammate, when I was having some swing issues, I'd get over the top, he'd say, just drop it in the slot. Drop it in the slot, similar to the Snoop Dogg song. Drop it like it's hot. Exactly. So Maddie D in college, I always came up with that one. I like that one. So I like, you know, drop it in the slot, I think would be a cool on the caddy bib or maybe like a Twitter handle. What do you guys think? What's your go-to or maybe like shh, you know, or four please or, you know, four right? What do you guys think would be kind of something great you'd love to have on your caddy's bib or on your bib if you were the caddy?
So I'm going to go straight to Caddyshack on this one because the one-liners are infamous. How about I'm going to end up working in a lumberyard for the rest of my life. I don't know how many characters I get on a caddy bib.
That's what are you looping for Christian Bazunhout? Is that how you're going to get that much room?
I don't know. How about a looper? You know, a caddy, a looper, a jock. I think he actually said pro jock. The world needs ditch diggers too. I mean, the world of Caddyshack just rips loopers apart. And I'm not trying to rip PJ Tour caddies apart, but like the one-liners of putting on a caddy bib are
outrageous. How big are the shoulder blades of this caddy? Because we're looking for like maybe 8 to 15 characters.
Well, like I said, I don't know how many characters I get on this.
Can you just imagine if you had in like size 4 font, you know, size 4, just tiny. Derek, what are you going with?
No gambling at Bushwood.
Nice.
There we go.
speaking of the one-liners kind of, or I do this for the exercise. My doctor told me to do this for the exercise.
Love it.
Ty?
If I could get an imaginary like meme or photo of someone, I would have a photo of Chubbs Peterson with a quote above him saying, "It's all in the hips." you know, I'm a mental midget out there, guys. I need something to calm me down. And so if I saw a photo of Chubbs's face where it says it's all in the hips, I mean, how can you not play good golf with that?
I like it.
I had thought about go to your home.
Yeah.
So my new saying, kind of the last, and Brad knows this one, since probably July or August, hit ball, find ball would be another one maybe I'd added on there. And it seems to be working because I've played some of my best golf since August. So, yeah, hit ball, find ball would be another one.
I thought that's a good one. I thought it was interesting. So Justin Thomas had his Twitter handle on there. And funny how that just came out a couple days after they announced the $40 million additional bonus for social media engagement and all that. It's like, well played, JT.
So can we talk really quick, Brad? I back to Valspar for a second. Sam Burns, respectfully to Sam, I looked him up. He's 94th in the world, so he's not some dude out there that's just out of nowhere. But Sam Burns, respectfully, that name itself, it's like kind of backup kicker status. And what I mean by that is you could go anywhere if you're Sam Burns right now and not get bothered. That dude just cashed a $1 million check, and nobody is going to recognize him in the public. I mean, what a good position for him to be in. And obviously, if he wins another time or two, he's going to be all over. But what a good time to be Sam Burns. I'm happy for him.
What's interesting, though, is that there's a lot of golfers that are not recognizable, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of guys that have made 30 to 60 million out there that nobody knows who they are, especially when they don't have their hat on. You know, like, yeah. Except for Stuart Sink. I think everyone knows who he is without his hat on.
So Sam Burns have had 76 tour starts already. He's had 54 hole leads, two previous times that he's lost. Also, his dad and brother both started college football not at LSU, but in Louisiana. Like, they're no rookie to the stage.
It's impressive, and he's had what? I think this is his fourth top 10 of the 2021 season already. So it's not like this is totally out of left field, but another young gun that no one's talking about. You know, it's cool to see. I think golf is just in such a good spot going forward. And there's so many guys. There's a new story every week. And one of the stories I did love seeing this week was Keegan Bradley being right there. And Keegan Bradley makes me feel good about my waggle over the ball. And you know, one thing I want to talk about. So is a good question. Like, I watch Keegan Bradley, and I always wonder, like, is he intentionally trying to go semi untucked on the shirt? Or is he trying to tuck it in and he just doesn't have like a good grab on his pants? Can you guys talk about that a little bit? Like the untucked versus the tucked in shirt? Cause you know, the Barn Rat played this week and he usually ends up untucked at some point during the round. But Keegan has kind of this weird thing going where his shirt's kind of in, kind of out. Have you guys noticed that? Like, do you guys do you tuck your shirt in tight all the way through? Do you kind of fluff a little? How do you handle the shirt tucking situation?
So I have a student that actually struggles with this. His shirt comes untucked, it's tucked, he's got to retuck. For me personally, if you catch me in a casual round of golf, I will never tuck in my shirt. I am shorts untucked. My hat may or may not be on forward or backwards. Who knows? But I have to play this professional role long enough. I'm complete casual.
What's going on with TBC? Is that the new El Dorado? Do whatever you want
out there.
No rules.
Ty, you're always pretty fully tucked, right?
Yeah, I think it depends on the scripting, Brad. It's important. So I'll go kind of half in, half out, depending on the look that day. But for the most part, yeah, I'm pretty conservative. I'm tucking in. I wear a lot of things tucked in.
D?
On the golf course, for me, it's got to be tucked in. I don't know why. It's just a comfort wise. It's loose tucked in. It comes untucked a lot, but it gets tucked right back in. It's just, I'm kind of superstitious where it's always been tucked in, so we just keep her tucked in. So yeah, just we'll go tucked in.
I like it. No, it's an interesting game. And again, everyone struggles with different, you know, wardrobe malfunctions. You know, Harry Higgs is another good one. You never really know what's going to be happening with, you know, is it one button? Is it zero buttons? Is it full chest hair? Is it tucked in? Like, you just never know. And I kind of enjoy that unpredictability about him. That and the fact that he's my doppelganger, it makes me feel good about myself. So, yeah, it's a fun conversation. Another thing I really want to talk about this week, the Big Ten Championship. So we had the women last week, and Kate Smith, who actually Ty knows fairly well, shot 64 in the final round. You know, we've talked about Kate before on the show. She's from Detroit Lakes. Her dad, Chris, is a PGA member. Really, 64 in the final round of the Big Ten for the women is just an incredible feat. And then another round that showed up recently, Angus Flanagan shot 59 the other day at Troy Burn for a practice round. And then since then, this weekend, he played in the men's conference championship and finished 13th. The Gopher men's team finished 9th. So not necessarily, you know, I think they're hoping maybe to get like 4th or 5th as a team and maybe top 5 for Angus. So not necessarily, you know, not bad, but not necessarily what they were hoping for. And then Angus goes this week to the Walker Cup. So some good college stuff happening there. And actually, Brandy was telling me earlier, for the MIAC championship this week for men, St. John's shot 14 under for 3 rounds and won by 14. Like, how good a golf? I mean, I know the weather's been a little bit better here lately than normal, but 14 under? Like, maybe St. John's is the one that should be going D1, right?
Well, and yeah. They've been loaded from the get-go. St. John's, I mean, every single kid that's gone there, at least from when I was in high school, they were all far and away better players than I was. And I played at a small Division I program. Like, they could easily transition their golf program to the next level. They're loaded. They're loaded.
They played awesome. So kudos to them. University of Minnesota, they struggled a little bit. I think that was a disappointment in what we were expecting. Angus finished, what, 10th? 13th in that. Kind of disappointing.
No, and that's, again, we want to get as much college information out there. So even if it's not, you know, that we played our best, we still want to share it just because, again, sometimes it's hard to find content in some of those things. So congrats to St. John's and incredible playing. And congrats to the Gophers men's team and the women's team on another good season. And hopefully, you know, continue to keep building as they go forward. I know it'll be tricky losing Angus from that lineup, but I know that Justin also has some studs coming in. And I know that the new women's coach has one of the best females that's ever played in Minnesota coming to the team soon. So some good things happening with the program.
Real quickly, though, like University of Illinois, 6 years in a row they've won this. I mean, holy crap.
Mike Small. They built something special down there. I mean, it's really cool. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the facility, but they've got a good thing going. And I'm impressed with how many Big Ten schools now have pretty impressive facilities, you know, compared to when I was playing Division II college golf. You know, we would hit balls off of a mat into a net and hopefully not hit them too hard so they don't hit the wall and come bounce back at us at Mankato. So, you know, like, I feel like things have really improved over the years, and that maybe that's dating how old I am.
At North Links?
No, in the gym, inside. No, it's incredible to see how much it's improved. I mean, wouldn't you say, Derek, even since your time at Stout, just the D2, D3 experiences have gotten that much better, and obviously D1, right?
Yeah, I mean, we played in the winter. I think the first 2 years I was there, or first year for sure, we had no practice facility. The clubs went in our bedrooms, and they got pulled out in April once the season started. And then finally, we got a net up in a racquetball court. They finally gave us one of those. And then my last year, they converted it a little bit better. And now they're still in that racquetball court, but it's a lot. I mean, they got a putting green. They got they rearranged it. So it's a lot more. Even at D3, they're investing in practice and year-round at the school.
Yeah, it's crazy. It none of us would probably ever make a squad now. So one of the things that we started doing on the show, guys, since we restarted here is we try to each week talk about a local business that we supported. And David and I kind of have fun with this. We pretty much pick and choose which places in Brooklyn Park or Champlin we hit up. But I tried something today that I've never tried before. I went to Fat Phil's, P-H-A-T, Phil's food truck. And he's set up in the corner of the Fleet Farm parking lot in Brooklyn Park, right by the former golf center there that still has the sign saying it's a golf center, but it's now a tennis center. Derek and I spent many, many lonely nights there hitting balls sideways. But it's right in there, and it was really, really good. Wonderful mini donuts. They've got cheese curds, the whole deal, so kind of cool. Ooh. And then picked up some Corona Premier at the Ike Spirits in Brooklyn Park right off of Zane and 610. So, Brandy, any local places you went to this week while you were running from one football game to the next?
Oh, my gosh. It was running from one place to another. 5-8 in Champlin this week, which is the... It was already the argument. It's Matt's versus 5-8 versus the Juicy Lucy.
It's not even close.
Okay, where are we going?
Come on. It's not even close. What are we even talking about?
You're Matt's going Matt's, way. Aren't you?
Of course. The OG.
Way back. I'm going to go 5-8 only because I live half a block from it.
And, Brandy, did you get a Juicy Lucy or did you get something else? What'd you have?
I actually didn't. I got a wrap this week. I've had the Juicy Lucy many times. It's amazing. It's when we got we had two baseball games yesterday, football practice, two football games today, and another football practice. I had to get something quick. But 5-8 here is amazing. I'm gonna agree with you though, Ty. I love Matt's. I'm not gonna say it's got the better Juicy Lucy, but they're both good.
Ty, for the listeners that are from out of state, can you walk through what a Juicy Lucy is?
Yeah, that's what I was actually thinking in my head. It's like, is that just a Minnesota thing or is that nationwide? And yeah, I'll just – and unfortunately, I can't really eat them very much anymore because my body now rejects things when I'm apparently 30. Apparently, can't eat anything anymore. Oh, but
just wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
So I – for those of you who aren't aware, a Juicy Lucy is a burger that is cheese infused, and that would be an understatement. So when you bite into this thing, it's like it just sprays everywhere. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's so good, and there's nothing on it. It's just like meat, cheese, and bun, right, guys? I mean, I suppose you could put other stuff on it, but the simple concept that it is, I still don't understand how good it is, but it is. It's ridiculous.
And so, what's crazy is that when you get it, like, everybody immediately is like, oh, I want to take a bite. And they get that first bite, and it's literally molten lava. And I just can't stress that enough. Like, you already said it, Ty, but everybody that comes for the first time, I try to teach them, like, hey, wait for a couple minutes, and then just start kind of nibbling around the edges and kind of work your way in. And then they get aggressive, and they try to get to the middle of the burger and, you know, cheese right in the face.
So
my
one complaint about a Juicy Lucy, they are absolutely phenomenal. But I shouldn't say complaint. If you're going to go get one, make sure you eat something before, because it is like a half hour or a 40-minute wait for the Juicy Lucy. Don't expect to walk in and go, I want a Juicy Lucy. Well, you're going to sit there for a while.
I suggest like some onion rings or fries or something, you know, maybe some cheese fries. Maybe you drive to Dakota Ridge, Derek, and get the cheese fries and then come back and hopefully your Juicy Lucy is cooled off by then.
One of the best.
I like to double it up and just get cheese curds right beforehand.
So to talk about what Brad just said, there used to be a tournament down at Dakota Ridge and we'd always spend the night before. We used to call it the Pro Buddy. and they had the best cheese fries. Brad and I spent many sleepless nights down there playing blackjack and eating cheese fries. I don't even know why we rented a hotel room half the time.
Shocking that Brad had to spend sleepless nights playing blackjack.
Yeah.
Yeah, and eating food at a late time. Right. I know that's the doctors wonder why I can't lose weight. Well, let me tell you, it's the activity from 10 to midnight that's not helping. So, Ty, what's your have you been able to support any local businesses recently? Any places you want to talk about or give a plug to besides PXG Southdale?
No, yeah, it is. I'd be doing these guys a major disservice if I didn't talk about it. Maybe you guys have already plugged them and I missed this, but Malone's Bar and Grill in Maple Grove, bar none, the best boneless wings I've ever had. I'm biased a little bit just because I'm a creature of habit. Once I go somewhere where I find something I like, that's all I get when I go there, and I go there a lot. So AJ and Junior, they are fantastic. The service is great. And the beer is super inexpensive, guys. It's like $3 or something for my favorite beer. No disrespect to Corona, but Kona Big Wave, by far the best. So Malone's Bar and Grill, Maple Grove.
Nice. How about you, Derek?
Recently I would say it's Delio's in the mall. It's just a convenient, fantastic pizza. When we have events at the mall, that's where we go. But it's a nice, easy grab when we're at the mall. And fantastic. So if you're ever at Southdale, Delio's Pizza, lower level.
That's awesome. So before we wrap up, you guys are both on the show for the first time. And what we always do to the first timer is we got to know if you could play one golf course with a foursome of your choice, who are you bringing with and where are you going? They can be dead, alive, someone you know, someone you don't know. You can pick whatever you want, no rules, but it's you and three other people. Who's your group and where are you playing? Ty, you want to lead us off?
Sure. Yeah, that's a tough one. I was thinking more on the course side of where the dream course would be played. My dream golf foursome is a lock. It's been this way for a long time, but course is tough for me. So I'll lay it out on the course side first. So I chose Bandon Dunes. It has to be 65, sunny, no wind. Okay. It's my fantasy.
Good luck.
Yep. So you asked, I'm giving it to you. So Bandon Dunes, 65, sunny, no wind, dream golf foursome, Larry Bird, Tom Hanks, and Kelly Slater, the professional surfer. Apparently he's a diehard golfer. So, and I'm for those of you who don't know, I don't think I talked about this, but I'm a huge water sports guy. I love surfing. And so Slater, that's a no brainer.
Can you tell us a little more about Tom Hanks? Are we talking like big Tom Hanks or Forrest Gump Tom Hanks or current, or what part of Tom Hanks' life are you wanting to play golf with him? And can you tell us about his golf background?
I'm sure I have no idea if he's any good at golf. He has to be an improvement on Charles Barkley. So, you know, it's actually, I shouldn't say that. Barkley, he put PXG in the bag, and he went out on national television and schooled Steph Curry. And who was that other one? Curry and Peyton Manning, Barkley and Phil. Love it. But anyway, I forgot what we were just talking about. I got all excited about
Tom Hanks. What Tom Hanks do you want to play with? Are you feeling like Forrest Gump, or do you want him to like narrate it, or you know?
Yeah, I'll take any version of Tom Hanks. There's no better actor out there. I know it sounds like I have a lot of opinions, but he's the stud. He's the GOAT. I mean, every movie he's been in, he's the best. So I love him, Bird, and all his swag that he's got. I mean, I'd love to pick his brain a little bit on his old days playing. And and Slater, that's my question.
I have to assume that Larry Bird would be with the, and not the Larry Bird stash, but with the Jeff Munich stash from, you know, back in the day. Like, it would have to be stash. That version of Larry, right?
Yeah, the porn stash. It's not a good look for anybody. It's no bueno.
Derek? Brad, I'm going to put this out there, but that's the most interesting dream foursome we've ever had.
It's very diverse. We don't know the golfing ability of any one of the three, but the storytelling would be amazing. And Ty has definitely spent most of his life embracing the storytelling on the golf course. So I think
maybe Derek's got something more unique, but that was impressive.
Derek just wants to go anywhere they have cheese fries. So he's saying Dakota Ridge. I can feel it right now.
Yeah. Give me Dakota Ridge with cheese fries. I'm in. I don't even need a foursome.
solo cheese fries?
Yep. Yeah. I think I got to go Pine Valley just because it's so hard to get on. So Pine Valley would probably be it. Big hockey guy. So I'm going Wayne Gretzky, Neil Broughton, and probably Ben Hogan. And then Brad Cole would be on the bag.
Ooh. What do I have on my caddy bib? What does it say? It's in the hole?
Hit ball, fine ball.
Hit ball, no, fine ball.
Yeah. It's show up, shut up.
Keep up, shut up.
Yeah. I tell you what, it's a fun conversation, and we can't thank you guys enough for being on with us tonight. I really appreciate you both. And we'd also like to thank our sponsors, Jarrett Yalen with Northwestern Mutual, PXG, and Corona Premier. As always, you can connect with us via email at 10kswings@scorenorth.com. Please subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Score North, and give us a 5-star rating. For episode 11 next week, we will have Jarrett Yalen on the show to break down the Wells Fargo Championship. Until next week, friends, I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branson. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Cheers.